91.3, welcome back to the show. The second sitting of the inquest looking into anti-apartheid activist Amal Timmal's death at John Forster Square in 1971 resumed today, and online is Timmal's nephew Imtiaz Ahmed Kaji, who is also the author of a book on Imtiaz Kaji, of Amal Timmal, which asked all the serious questions. Today, it was very interesting because former South African officer Paul Erasmus, who was based at John Forster Square, testified. But Imtiaz Ahmed Kaji, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, thanks for having me.
Some hot stuff coming out here. John Erasmus saying that Adrian Flock lied at the TRC.
Unbelievable, my brother. I mean, these are revelations that have been going on for a very long time. But we were absolutely enthralled to listen to Paul Erasmus going into vivid details this morning of not just Adrian Flock, but mentioning the names of de Klerk, mentioning the name of Rolf Meyer, and basically exposing the entire system for covering up the deaths of many political activists, the torture of many, many other political detainees, and the entire cover-up that was presented at the TRC hearing. So absolutely, absolutely bewildering.
Now, why is Erasmus now coming clean? It's bewildering to me.
Well, I mean, that is the multi-million dollar question. I think we should have more opportunities like this and more dialogues like this, where people like Erasmus and many others are granted an opportunity and a platform, you know, for them to basically give their version of the story. We should not forget that Erasmus did apply for amnesty at the TRC hearings, but we are well aware that the TRC hearings were incomplete, and there were many, many portions of the TRC that had to be followed through, which were not done, which was not implemented by the government of the day. So I think the more opportunities we have like this, the more revelations like this are going to come out. And it's imperative that these investigations and these allegations be followed through.
It sounded as if Erasmus is actually quite angry, that he really does have an axe to grind. It's almost as if he feels that he's being betrayed.
Well, I mean, that is my perception as well. I mean, the fact that he was so forthcoming and he openly disclosed, you know, with absolute confidence his entire lifestyle, his integration in the police service, coming from after matriculating, going to the security branch, the various campaigns that he had run, the STATCOM operations that he had run, the discrediting of political activists, and political torture that was meted out to political detainees. So it was absolutely breathtaking.
What did you have to say about your uncle, Amal Timmal? Because thereby hangs a major tale, doesn't there? Because John Forster Square, I did some investigations, and I've discovered that at least six people died at John Forster Square. Ahmed was just one of the many.
Well, absolutely, Uncle Ahmed was the first of many. But I think what Paul Erasmus alluded to, which is very significant for us, was the fact that there was collusion between the magistrates, the judiciary, the police. And, I mean, they would actually prepare themselves before they would go to an inquest as to how the questions would be posed. And without any doubt, clearly demonstrating that all the inquests were fast.
It is interesting. It's funny, we talk about this. My late mother used to work in a hospital. And I can remember when Steve Biko died, telling me that the doctor that had done the inquest into Steve Biko was a liar. This was in the 70s. So it really is absolutely amazing, isn't it, that all these things we suspected all along are now actually becoming the truth?
No, absolutely. I mean, one can go back since the death of Lux Martin Jewell in 1963 and the manner in which his death was covered up. But despite the condemnation locally and internationally, the apartheid regime never ceased. They just continued. And like we said, Uncle Ahmed was the 22nd person. And from all records, it looks like it went to over 60, 70 other detainees that continued to die in that particular fashion. So it was clearly a manner in which the security branch used to deter political detainees, that by killing them, they would not continue the struggle. But it was obviously something that they had failed on.
Now, one thing that is very obvious to me about all of this is that I can remember during the 1980s, some of the security branch people in the Western Cape, they said they were quite prepared to take detainees to the brink to get what they would label a confession. And when I mean to the brink, that is to the brink of death.
No, absolutely. They were hell-bent to get whatever information they wanted. They had a free carte blanche. There was absolutely no hindrance on their part. I mean, once you were taken into police custody, they had total ownership of you. There were you had no legal representatives. Remember, it was detention without trial. Your family had no access to you. You had no media visiting you. I mean, they could simply do whatever they wanted to do with you. And they accepted information at whatever peril that they chose. And they were a law unto themselves. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Are you confident that the truth about Ahmed Tamal is now finally going to come out? Because I do believe there's another police officer who was subpoenaed to also testify.
Look, I mean, we are cautiously optimistic, and we take it on a day-to-day basis. The first week has passed. The first day of the second sitting has passed. We have a number of other witnesses to come through. With the grace of the Almighty, we always have confidence in him that inshallah, towards the end of the inquest, you know, justice will prevail, and we will be able to reflect that my uncle did not commit suicide but was killed in police custody.
Now, of course, when one reads over the police reports, it's quite amazing how many instances there are of people slipping on bars of soap and miraculously diving out of windows. It's quite amazing that this basically seemed to be the line. What impact do you think, if we get to the truth of what happened to Ahmed Tamal, what impact is this going to have on the general landscape of so many others who are also equally and desperately looking for closure?
Well, I think already today, you know, we had the family of Matthew Mabelane, who also died at John Foster Square Police Station. You know, the brother was present today and even in the first sitting of the inquest. And they're asking similar questions. And they want exactly similar processes to be afforded to them. So the intention is that, inshallah, with this being a positive outcome, the family of Imam Harun, Dr. Hussein Hafeji, Babla Saluji, Steve Biko, Neil Agat, many, many other families get afforded the same opportunity, because we owe it to their honor, we owe it to their dignity, and we owe it to the annals of our history to correctly reflect that they did not commit suicide, but that they were rather brutally killed and murdered in police detention.
Does it anger you in a sense that Paul Erasmus is, there's only three surviving police officers who were in the office that was responsible for what happened to Ahmed Tamal? Only three are now surviving. About 17 others have already gone to their maker, their secrets with them.
Well, this is the painful portion, my brother, because in 1996 at the TRC, they were all living. And none of them were subpoenaed. None of them ever applied for amnesty. In 2002, I had written to the National Director of Public Prosecution, Mr. Bulalan Nuka, again pleading with him that many of them were alive and that they had to be interviewed. And again, my application was declined. So those are golden opportunities that were lost, because it was a perfect opportunity for all of them to have come forward, for them to have been questioned, and for them to have given a true version of what had transpired. But it's over. Those days are over. And we are left with a few of them, and we're hoping that with the grace of the Almighty that the truth will prevail.
This is big, isn't it, Imtiaz? Because this is a story that resonates nationwide. Because I can, on this show, I can name about six or seven or eight special branch operators just in the Western Cape whose names I did not see at the TRC. Only one of them came to the TRC. He was the torturer of a number of people. Nobody else was at the TRC. And a lot of people in Cape Town are wondering, where are these guys? Why were they not at the TRC? And why haven't they been charged?
No, absolutely. Those are very, very legitimate questions. And, you know, we'll say that with all the turbulence and the political challenges we're facing in the country, why are we going back to those pertinent questions? But the fact of the matter remains, we cannot ignore them. We cannot abdicate our responsibility, and we cannot move forward as a nation if we don't understand our past. And I'm of the view that many of those unresolved issues of the past have in some particular way a hindrance of the challenges that we are facing today.
Imtiaz, who else is going to testify in the inquest? As I say, we've had Paul Erasmus, and that's been riveting is an understatement, because he's said that people like Arjo and Flock knew what was going on, that they lied at the TRC, as did many other government officials. Who else is going to be up in the dock?
Look, tomorrow we have another member of the South African Communist Party and a friend of Uncle Ahmed, Yusuf Pahad, that will be testifying. And then we also have another professor who will talk on the medical conditions and some of the first aid prerequisites. So the two of them will be testifying tomorrow. But on a day-to-day basis, on our social media platforms, we will be keeping the media updated on all the people that will be testifying.
Imtiaz Ahmed Kaji, who is nephew of Ahmed Tamil, he's also author of a book about Ahmed Tamil, which right now is a very relevant read, because Imtiaz unearthed a lot of things which should have seen the light of day, but he had to dig them up for them to do so. Today, Paul Erasmus, former police officer, testifying and saying that all the top knobs in the Afrikaner Nationalist Party were in on what was happening to people like Ahmed Tamil. Imtiaz Ahmed Kaji, everything of the best, and we look forward to tomorrow's testimonies.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Dear Cape.